All right, this gentleman I really enjoyed talking to, and if you want to learn about the inside of a game and why things happen, Eno Saris, S-A-R-R-I-S, I hope I spelled it right, of The Athletic, and Eno joins us. Eno, how are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on again.
No, we're glad to have you. As I said, and believe me, when you start giving me the inside of what makes a team tick and things like that, I learn stuff, so I'm glad to have you on. Interesting last night, watching the pitcher from Japan sort of throws like underhand and a frisbee. And here, what kind of velocity does this guy have? How does he get away with it? And is velocity changing in baseball that you can bring in guys like this?
Well, I don't think he would last as a starter. But there is something about seeing a guy once in a while, once in a series, once a year even, that you can make it work as a reliever. And, the Padres in particular, two guys like that, Simber and Makita, both throw almost underhand. And one of the keys for an underhander is, in order to get lefties out, is to be able to throw up in the zone. And you'll see that both of those guys will throw up and in tight on lefties. And that'll keep a lefty from, when the sort of submarine throws like that, the left-hander can see the ball for a really long time. And so it is something that a left-hander should be able to hit really well, unless the pitcher adds this wrinkle of throwing inside or throwing up in the zone.
Yeah, I used to see it. Kent Tekulve, I remember him. He would pitch like that, and Terry Crowley. Not Kerry Crowley, but Terry Crowley, was a pinch hitter in the early 70s. He used to just kill that kind of pitcher. So he was a lefty, and you can hit him. But the Giants are struggling, and I really enjoy your analysis and Owen Poindexter's analysis of the Giants through the numbers. What do the numbers tell you about Belt, Longoria, McCutchen, the guys that they sort of are counting on right now?
Well, as a group, there is a problem because even though they're floating around 500, and that's decent for having their starters out, like their top three starters out as they've had it, the problem is they're not scoring runs. And the offense is bottom five in the league in exit velocity, and it's bottom 10 in the league in launch angles. So they're just not putting the ball in the air, and they're not putting the ball in the air with authority. Uh-huh. And that's something you can say about the whole squad. Now, McCutchen is hitting it pretty well, actually. Posey's not too far off of his norms. But there are some batters up and down that lineup. And then just as a lineup in general, it's the oldest in baseball, and it's going to have to find something. And I actually think that maybe that something should be one of their young guys. I think this might be the time to look into one of the guys, one of the outfielders that didn't make the opening day squad, and see if they can come up and maybe platoon with Hunter Pence in the outfield and see if we can get a little extra stock in the lineup.
Exit velocity is very important, and that means you're hitting the ball hard. And if you hit it hard, generally if you're not hitting it to bad luck all the time, good things should happen for you. Longoria and Belt, are they hitting the ball with any authority?
They are, and Longoria is adding a sort of second-level problem, which is that he's swinging more than he's ever swung in his career. And I actually talked to him about that on Friday. I found that when a player joins a new team, that they swing more than they usually do, and I think you might call that pressing. And I mentioned the P word to Longoria, and he just nodded. And he said, trying to make an impact, trying to sort of, put himself on the map with his new team and his new fan base. So, I've seen, a couple takes that didn't work out for him, a couple called strike threes. I know he's trying to, find his old patience again. And patience and exit velocity are related, because if you can really hone in on one part of the strike zone, at the belt, those balls produce the hardest hit balls and produce the best launch angle and produce home runs. It's old baseball, It's like look for the right pitch. And so I think that part for Longoria has a possibility of working itself out as he gets comfortable and gets to know the pitchers and gets to know the stadium. You know, we'll have to see when that happens.
All right, very good. Eno Saris is with us of The Athletic, and Eno is all over this. You explain it so well, it comes to life for me. What about Brandon Belt? We've seen him take the third strikes a lot this week. But then I watched a couple of his swings. I said, you know something? He's not hitting ground balls. He's trying to lift the ball more. Is that true?
There has been a gradual a change in his batted balls over his career, that he's definitely lifted the ball more and more. And what's interesting about that is that there might have been a change in the ball in the last couple of years. We've seen an explosion of home runs. And even in Belt's power totals, even though they're a little bit obscured by the fact that he's lost so much time, last year, if he played the whole season out, he would have hit 30 home runs. And, you know, that's something that people, you know, may not understand, because they never think of him as a 30 home run hitter. But he's, in the meantime, changed his batted balls to the point where he's hitting a lot of fly balls, and he's taking advantage of the new offensive environment that's out there. So I think it's a good news. The problem is, once they change the ball once, you wonder if they'll change it again, and there is some evidence that the ball is not flying as well as it's flying in the past. Rob Arthur wrote a piece for us at The Athletic showing that the ball is exhibiting some traits that it used to exhibit 3 or 4 years ago. So it's kind of maddening as an analyst to be like, are they really mucking with it this much and what's going on? But there is evidence that the ball has been changing the last couple of years.
Wow. All right. This is going to be fun to follow with you. All right, the Padres. And, you know, look, I watch this stuff and I say, and I realize sometimes pitching determines what's going to happen in a game, and Brian Mitchell couldn't find the strike zone, and Block got to the sixth inning, and it came apart at the seams. Tonight it's Clayton Richard, Derek Holland. Do the Padres have anything positive going for them on the offensive side?
Eric Hosmer's a decent hitter. Franchi Cordero is an interesting guy that they just picked up that hits the ball really hard. He's kind of a Statcast darling, where he's got the exit velocity and the sprint speed. And he shows up basically what you might call toolsy with a bit of a lack of approach. He might be fun for people to watch. But, as a whole, the offense in San Diego is sort of marked by nothing standing out. They strike out more than average. They don't walk very well. They don't really have a lot of power, and it's kind of blah. Their best hitter other than Eric Hosmer, Manny Margot, is down right now with a rib injury after being hit. So it's a little tough sometimes to watch the Padres team.
Yeah, it is. And Ty Block, I thought, he goes five, no problem. And then that sixth inning for him is, he just didn't have it. And that's when they put the game away. This is Jackie Robinson weekend, and I love doing the show and commemorating what Jackie meant to the world and the baseball world and the world in general. But what about as a player? And I realize we're in the Statcast era, and it's tough to go back and do anything to compare other than maybe WAR or something like that. But is there anything you could say about Jackie, knowing all the stats and things like that?
Well, I didn't want to get too far into WAR. I didn't want to get too weird. I just wanted to point out that one thing that people might not realize is the game was really different back in Jackie's day. And in today's game, we hit more homers and steal more bases. So in Jackie's biggest year, you know, you might look at it and say, oh, he had a good year. He hit 18 homers and, you know, he stole 20 bases or whatever. But if you actually translate that, just like according to what the league is doing, in today's numbers, that would be 30 home runs and 65 stolen bases.
Wow.
So you're talking about a guy who's going to hit 300, hit 30 home runs, steal 65 bases, and play an awesome second base, if you want to talk about it today's terms.
Not bad.
And no one's ever done that. I mean, the closest you have is Ricky Henderson, mm-hmm. who had a couple seasons like that. So if you want to think of Jackie Robinson in modern terms, think of Ricky Henderson at second base, I guess.
Wow, beautiful.
Which is kind of fun to think about.
Very good. I like it. Very good. See, yeah. You always no, seriously, you come up with these images using the numbers that are easy to follow, and that's the key, is being easy to follow it. So I appreciate you didn't go into WAR. because as Elaine Bennis says, war, what is it good for? So we know that.
That's right.
Hey, you know, thank you so much. I love having you on, and we'll catch up maybe after the Giants see Ohtani. We'll see what you think about that.
He's very exciting. He seems to be everything that people said he would be.
Come on, it's Babe Ruth. I mean, if you know, it's crazy, but you know, you think of Babe Ruth. He doesn't look like him. He doesn't eat as many hot dogs, and he's not holding Miller Huggins off the end of a train. But
he's like one of the top five fastest players in baseball.
Wow,
he's like 6'6", one of the five fastest players in baseball, hits the ball extremely hard and throws 100 miles an hour.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, what did you think of the play?
All right.
Hey, I love it. Eno, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Good afternoon. All right. That is Eno Saris of The Athletic. He's worth just getting The Athletic for that.